3am Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. More fallout after the release of that video showing the police beating death of Tyre Nichols. CBS's Skylar Henry has the latest.
Five officers involved who were fired are facing multiple charges, including second-degree murder. Memphis police confirmed Monday that a sixth officer, Preston Hemphill, has been relieved of duty since the beginning of the investigation for his role in the incident. Several others who arrived on the scene are also under investigation.
He's there, handcuffs, moaning on the ground, and everybody's walking around nonchalantly like it's business as usual. So it should be accountability for everybody on the video.
That's Nichols family attorney Ben Crump. Meanwhile, three Memphis Fire Department officials have been fired, and they could face charges in connection with the death of Tyre Nichols. A Chicago prosecutor is dropping sex abuse charges against singer R. Kelly. Speaking to fellow sexual assault victims.
As a survivor, I know that the courage that it took for them to come forward, and I know that for those who were seeking to have their day in court here in Illinois, that today's announcement may be disappointing.
But Kim Fox says R. Kelly will be in prison for decades anyway on federal convictions. A trial is underway in New York for a woman accused of trying to kill a friend by giving her cheesecake laced with poison.
Victoria Nasora is accused of coming up with the intricate scheme.
This woman concocted a calculated plan.
Prosecutor Constantinos Liturgas, in his opening statement, told jurors the poison cheesecake was a key element.
To get her alone in a room, to try to kill her, and to take her identity.
Nasora's friend did eat the cheesecake, then passed out. She survived, but when she came to, realized her passport and other items were missing. Nasora is also suspected of drugging men that she met on a dating website, then stealing their money. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Winter storm watches and warnings stretch from Texas to Pennsylvania. WCBS radio meteorologist Craig Allen.
Inland portions of Texas, as well as on up across the Mississippi Valley and on up towards the Great Lakes. This is an area where there is precipitation, where there is moisture, and it is falling in the form of snow, sleet, and freezing rain.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel, where he's been discussing several issues, including Iran's nuclear ambitions.
We agree that Iran must never be allowed to acquire a nuclear weapon.
Secretary Blinken also urged Israel and the Palestinians to do everything possible to calm recent tensions. Former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson discussing a phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin before the invasion of Ukraine.
He threatened me at one point and said, you know, Boris, I don't want to hurt you, but with a missile, it would only take a minute or something like that, you know.
Boris Johnson made his comments during an interview with the BBC. This is CBS News.
The Shah 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A man suspected of killing two women in Green Bay is arrested in Arkansas. The women's bodies were found inside an East Side apartment Sunday morning. Police say evidence of the scene made them think right away the suspect had headed south. In fact, Arkansas police caught him in a traffic stop by mid-afternoon. Police say double homicides are rare in Green Bay. PFAS pollutants are getting lawmakers' attention. A state Senate committee is holding a hearing today on proposed regulations for the forever chemicals. They're used to make a lot of useful plastic products, but they're polluting Wisconsin's soil and water. Right now, PFAS are not regulated in Wisconsin. Governor Evers, for one, says he wants to change that. In sports, the Bucks host Charlotte tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays. the city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
And see what incentives are available for you.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Well, we got a playwright on tonight, and we're going to talking about their world premiere, and I'm really in San Francisco, so I'm really pleased that we have this person. Ogama, you know, we're excited here. We're diversifying and amplifying our Native voice all over Turtle Island.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have Claude Jackson Jr., who is not only the Public Defender's Office leader for the Gila River tribe where he's from, but he is also a playwright in his spare time. And his new play, Cashed Out, is at the San Francisco Playhouse Theater, and its world premiere just happened early last week, I believe, and it's still great. Playing. So we're really excited to have him on to talk about his work. And I want to know what his schedule looks like, if he's able to run the Public Defender's Office for a tribe and be a playwright in his spare time.
Sounds like you. Maybe you can get some pointers, huh?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Right on. Hey, we talk about Native news and events, and we talk also, Ogama does, the news that you don't hear anywhere else. So why don't we get right to that, and welcome again, Ogama.
Absolutely. Bonjour, Anine, everybody. This is Ogama Ganuakwe. I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I've got some news and information for you here today. I've got some environmental news today, sort of. This one's environmental, related to the ongoing trials of Line 3 water protectors. The Aiken County Sheriff in Minnesota is to be questioned in court tomorrow about subpoena dodging and roughing the subpoena server during the ongoing trials of the Line 3 water protectors. And then there's also a legal challenge to the Public Utilities Commission, and Enbridge escrow account is also challenged. For those of you who haven't been maybe up to date with what's happening with Line 3, Line 3 was installed as a replacement project, Line 3, sometimes called Line 93, here in northern Minnesota during 2020 and 2021. The attorney is asking the sheriff from one of the Minnesota counties, Dan Gouda from Aiken County, to be held in contempt of court for obstructing justice and to be sanctioned. Aiken County was dodging a subpoena and obstructing justice about recent allegations that he roughed up the subpoena server. And the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission, during Enbridge's construction of the Line 3 pipeline, had an escrow account which paid out about $8.5 million to Minnesota law enforcement agencies. So all of these things are happening kind of all at once. Aiken County had also, I believe, and maybe I don't know if I can be quoted on this, but I believe Aiken County was also a county where water protectors had had physical force used against them during peaceful protests as well. So their water protectors attorneys are asking to hold the Aiken County Sheriff in contempt over these. And it's going to be really, really interesting to see. And, you know, given that, I mean, these are really serious charges. They're really serious charges. And, you know, I'm talking about it here on Native Roots Radio, but I haven't seen anything come through in like the wider news sphere yet. Certainly not in what would be considered, you know, mainstream news. But there was also the recent murder of the environmental activist in Georgia. And Tortuguita was murdered for protecting forests in place of a police training facility. And we all know that there's been another police brutality murder of Tyree Nichols that has happened. And this is the same zone. These things are all intersectional, right, Robert? They all connect. And it's definitely something that I would hope would merit further news coverage. So we'll kind of wait and see what happens with that. But just wanted to make everybody aware. So if you're interested in going to the Aiken County Courthouse, they will be having this court session Wednesday, February 1st at 9 a.m., which is tomorrow at the Aiken County Courthouse in Aiken, Minnesota. There is a possibility for Zoom, but as of right now, that has not been approved by the court. So we're waiting to see what happens. But, you know, show up, boots on the ground if you can, and let Aiken County know what you think of the charges against Sheriff Dan Guda and Richard Hart, who is the PUC-appointed escrow account manager, both of which have been called to testify in water protector cases. So. Yeah. In news of kind of the Northwest Coast, the United Tribes of Bristol Bay just had a news release that came out that after years of effort, Bristol Bay is celebrating EPA's historic action to stop PEBBLE. The Bristol Bay Tribes and Communities and Alaska Native Corporations and Organizations are celebrating the Environmental Protection Agency's finalization of 404C Clean Water Act protections that will stop the proposed pebble mine from being built at the headwaters of Bristol Bay up in Alaska. Just today, the EPA published its final determination outlining the prohibitions and restrictions that will prevent this large-scale mine from being developed at the pebble deposit due to the adverse impacts such a mine would have on Bristol Bay's people, waters, and salmon fishery. And the news is really, it's decades in the making. It was initiated back in 2010 when Bristol Bay's tribes formally petition the EPA to use their authority under the Clean Water Act to help protect the watershed. This is really exciting news. The protections there are going to prohibit and restrict the use of the waters of the South Fork Kuktuli, North Fork Kuktuli, and the upper Tallarat Creek watersheds in Bristol Bay as a disposal site for the discharge or dredged or fill material associating with mining as well. This final determination also prohibits future proposals to develop mines at that location. And the impacts of that have similarly been denied by the Army Corps of Engineers in 2020. So EPA, if you could come over here to Minnesota and get some of those protections going a little bit stronger here, right, Robert, for water protection here.
Well, you know, you speak on that, and I think, geez, the EPA, you know, these people are supposed to protect waters. I have a big question mark. So, you know, these people, these organizations and, you know, the DNR and all these things, I've just lost personally total faith in a lot of their actions. So it's hard for me to agree with that one, Ogama.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm happy to see that the EPA is doing what it can in certain places, right. And in other places it's just not happening. And you're right, especially here in Minnesota, my faith in the administrative forces that are supposed to protect our water and land and people here, you know, have duly failed us on many occasions. And I would be open to having the EPA step in, which they have done in the case of wild rice and sulfur levels in northern Minnesota. They have stepped in for denying 404 water permits here in Minnesota, just as of the last year, related to mining as well. But you know, the Boundary Waters also had that big win where the copper and nickel mine in the Boundary Waters, Polymet, was shut down by President Biden as well. So there have been some wins at the federal level, but you know, we really need to get these state agencies on board.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Yeah, it's hard to see and listen to all this for 6 years, right, Ogama? I mean, and you've been in the battle longer than the show's been on. And it's, sometimes it's hard to get out of bed, and other times you get out of bed and you want to really fight for our people and our land and Mother Earth and Father Sky. Thank you so much for doing a great report as always. And, you know, up next we got this playwright, Claude Jackson, and I'll look for some help with you on the interview. So we'll be right back after this short break. See you soon.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Take care of your community by joining Metro Transit's Adopt a Stop program. Show your community pride by adopting a transit stop. Join us in helping keep the stop and your neighborhood beautiful and report any maintenance needs to us. We'll put a sign at the stop recognizing your efforts. Plus, you'll get 10 free rides every month. Get details at metrotransit.org/adopt. Again, adopt a stop for Metro Transit.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? You really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067. Or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition here on Native Roots Radio. We're also really excited. It looks like he's just arrived. We have playwright Claude Jackson, who just has having opening night at the San Francisco Playhouse for his new production called Cashed Out. Welcome, Mr. Jackson.
Thank you for having me.
Well, hey. Sorry, Ogama.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to ask Claude if he wanted to introduce himself to our listeners.
Oh, thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Claude Jackson. I'm a member of the Gila River Indian community, also part Hopi, out of Arizona. Gila River is south of Phoenix area. I was born and raised in Phoenix, and member of my tribe. I'm also an attorney for my tribe. I handle public defense, but I've done many, many things in terms of the law for my community, including ICWA cases. And I'm also a writer, and I just happened to get commissioned to write a play, and then I'm over here in San Francisco, and yes, opening night is coming on. Thank you.
Wow, that's exciting. And again, welcome to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake. And, you know, it's exciting that you had it was first an abbreviated play, and then people saw what you want, and then they made you work more. And we're trying to figure out, you're a full-time attorney and a playwright, and I can barely tie my shoes here. But it's good to hear that you're your tribe's attorney, too, because on the off days here, I'm a legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation, too. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the government business. We don't talk about that here much on the radio, but I know you're very busy. So how exciting was that to have them, or was it frightening, or did you feel like, hey, I have more things to say?
It was, you pretty much described it all, a little frightening, because I just didn't know anything of what was happening when they decided to commission it. And even when they chose, San Francisco chose this as part of their season, I just had to turn it over to people that I had to trust, that I really didn't know. But they gave me a great director, Tara Moses, a native cast, and were very, very respectful of my tribe. And it just went from there. And I really been like, don't know. I don't know what to expect beyond opening night, beyond closing. I'm just having the time of my life, just enjoying it.
Well, you and your brother wrote a play, In Circles, which is streaming on Amazon Prime and other outlets. So you're a veteran of this of some sorts, but what's your process? Do you write two pages a day, or, you know, I heard if you do two pages a day, you'd have a full book at the end of the year. what is your process?
Well, it's when I could find time for it. I don't sit down and say I'm going to write this many pages, or I'm going to write for this amount of time a day, because I can get not only caught up with my regular job, but also I got a family, and I got an 8-year-old that demands my time, and she better get it. So, but when the mood hits me, I can go full bore, and I'm pretty fast with it. And what I'd like to do is just get it down on paper, and then I can work on the rewrites, and that's much more fun to do that. Then you're cutting, you're adding, you're really getting to know your characters after you've done your first draft.
Hey, we're talking to playwright Claude Jackson Jr. about his play. Well, we're talking about him, but let's talk a little bit about his play, Cashed Out. It's a story of three generations of women that live in the Gila River Indian Community Reservation in Arizona. Oops, sorry, there I got the Midwest. Big difference, right? And temperature, too. We're like 20 below here in Minnesota now. But tell us a little bit about that. I know we always talk about the seventh generation, and that's the generations that precede us and the ones that are forward, that we protect the water and protect our way of life. So what was your inspiration with these three generations? Are they people you know, or people that were in your family or are in your family? What was the inspiration on that?
In talking about the strength of a family, definitely the women in my family who have taken care of me, my grandmothers, my mom, my wife now. And so those were, I knew that I can draw that strength from them. One of the key to it, key to this play was, it is a tragedy. And originally the theme, when it was a short play, the theme was gaming. And so I just try to come from a place when I submitted this play, I just wanted it to stand out. So I chose it being a tragedy. And then I wanted to talk about addiction. That's something that's lived in my family for many generations. And so I just went with gambling addiction. And it's not something that I'm overly familiar with or was, but addiction is addiction. So I went with that. And then I wanted to talk about the not only the struggles, but from an aspect of life on the res, of traditions and customs. I chose basket making because the Otham people of Gila River are well known for their basket making out in Arizona. And even though I don't have any of that background, so that took some research as well. And so that's where I went with it. And I wanted to present characters that were strong women that lived on the res, that wanted to be out on the res, that were doing all they can to help this particular person, the main character named Rocky Camus, to overcome her gambling addiction. And so, you know, in the end, like I said, it's a tragedy, but the young daughter, Maya, is someone that, you know, the audience is going to come away with knowing that this young girl is going to be all right. Her great aunt is there for her. The rest of the community is there for her. And she's making, you know, strong decisions herself, you know, even at a young age, that she's going to break the cycle of addiction.
Wow, that's awesome. You know, we talk about before gaming came into our tribe up here, when we did basket weaving, we were on the side of the road selling those to maintain, you know, our aunties and our gagas to maintain some kind of cash flow. And it's a long tradition here for Ho-Chunks, too. So it's really interesting. So there is a fine line between addictive personality, so addiction to drugs and addiction to gambling. It's a hard thing because it's so everybody does it in a sense of like people gamble. So do you have addiction? You hide it. All these things that wrap up into it. So it's a poignant story for us, especially in, you know, with COVID. We had the addictions in the parking lot doing push-ups because we were so worried about COVID, and we were still having our members pass on with these addictions. So it's great to have you put this in the forefront of your play.
Thank you. Yeah, and I mean, if I could add too, is that, you know, ironically, Indian gaming has been very beneficial to me. I would not have graduated undergrad years ago. I would not have become a lawyer. My tribe paid for my education, and although I wasn't mandated to come back and work for my tribe, it was always in the back of my mind. And you know, I've been with my tribe for 17 years, working as an attorney. So it's provided for me. It's provided for my family, and so I'm grateful for that opportunity. And I wanted to talk about addiction in this regard, and I wanted it to stand out. So that's the path I chose in getting this play done.
Hey, Ogama, we got less than a minute here. Do you want to just ask the question and we'll ponder during the commercial? Did you have a question?
I was actually just noticing the time and was going to let people know that Cashed Out's opening night at the San Francisco Playhouse is tonight. If you're in the San Francisco area and you're tuning in, you can go to sfplayhouse.org or call the box office for San Francisco Playhouse. Performances go January 26th through February 25th, so you can get your tickets and make a plan to go see this. This sounds like a wonderful production, and I'm excited to talk with you more in the next segment.
Thank you.
Right on. Hey, we're with, I want to say Superman Claude Jackson Jr., but playwright and full-time lawyer and all-around groovy native dude. We'll be right back after this short break. Talk a little bit more about the play that's opening and how excited we are to support you and hear more about it. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Hey, Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Forecasters are warning of dangerous icy conditions as a storm system hits the south over the next 2 days. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
We have a widespread ice event unfolding from Texas all the way to the Ohio River Valley.
New York Republican George Santos has stepped down from committees in Congress. CBS's Allison Keyes.
Santos is already under investigation over his campaign finances and lies about his past. Now he's saying he'll hold on to two committee assignments, but won't actually serve on them until he has been cleared. He is apologizing for being a distraction.
Two more Memphis police officers have been suspended and three fire department employees fired over the death of Tyree Nichols. CBS's Elise Preston.
As Memphis continues to mourn, the Biden administration announced it will send four officials to Tyree Nichols' funeral tomorrow. Meanwhile, the Shelby County District Attorney says more charges could be forthcoming in the future.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Jane Matt-Mayer. Here's what you need to know. It's looking far less likely that Wisconsin's Republican lawmakers will legalize medical marijuana this year. GOP Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells Upfront there needs to be some middle ground consensus. Democratic Governor Tony Evers says he will sign a medical marijuana bill, provided it's not flawed. Wisconsin should swap out some corn for solar in a new report from Clean Wisconsin. The environmental advocacy nonprofit is converting less than a third of the approximately 1 million acres Wisconsin uses to grow corn for ethanol into solar farms would boost the state's energy production and help cut carbon emissions. Corn is Wisconsin's number one crop, covering nearly 4 million acres. Only 3,500 acres are dedicated to solar. To hit Clean Wisconsin's goal of net zero carbon emissions by 2050, Wisconsin would need to build about 280,000 acres of solar farms. I'm Jane Matt-Mayer for Civic Media News.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We are joined by the 57th Assembly District Representative, Lee Snodgrass. Thanks for being here.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
How do I need to adapt this based on what has changed since I first introduced it? Government does not move fast. I'm sure that's a shocker to all of you guys. Public policy doesn't change until public opinion changes.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
That's not good. It's not what I'm liking about.
This is the Black Shirt Sports Radio Network. I am Connor Boston, filling in for downtown Donnie Brown, who has traveled to Buffalo, New York to pay his final respects to his mother, who unfortunately had passed away this past Saturday. Thoughts and prayers go out to Don Brown. Let's hope when he comes back, he'll be in better spirits. I have Johnny with me.
How you doing, Connor?
I'm doing all right, Johnny.
You know, I just want to extend my condolences to Don Brown and his family. It was a horrible thing that we found out. And just going to roll with the punches here. So back to you, Connor.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just so different not having him here, to because he's so incredibly, you know, his son Evan Stout is playing, and every night, you know, he always makes sure to tell him to keep his head up, especially because he hasn't been playing as much as he probably should this season. So, you know, we'll hope, and we'll hope that he's going to be in much better spirits when he returns. But tonight, as the Black Shirts host Crosstown Rivals Waukesha West, we welcome those listeners from Native Roots Radio to tonight's broadcast. As Black Shirt Nation is proudly represented by Indigenous peoples, as well as the sons and daughters of the Northern Migration, the descendants of the Middle Passage, the Irish diaspora in America, and all of the banished children of Eve, it is our honor and duty to walk alongside our Native brethren through your struggles, triumphs, and achievements, and are happy to declare that Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We welcome you to join us on Black Shirt Basketball's journey of redemption, triumph, and self-discovery in this year's campaign. For those of you who are new, this program lost 60 straight conference games before fighting their way to their first winning season and playoff berth in 20 years, two seasons ago. And then last season, to their first Classic Eight championship in 20 years and a berth to the sectional finals before falling short just one game away from the state finals. Returning from last year's team are two All-State senior guards. They've been fantastic all season, Tyron Cook and Daniel Robinson. They lead a supporting cast of juniors and seniors who have really elevated their game tonight in the past few weeks. Tonight, the Wolverines are led by star guard Dominic Hill, along with other starters such as Ben Hetzel and Carter Holmes. Last time that we played them, we won, I believe, and West put up a really, really good fight. Their lead scorer, Dominic Hill, was amazing, having to take on most of the weight for West. But our team was able to overcome them with an outstanding performance from Tyron, as usual, and support from Daniel and Tack. I believe Tack is still out. He was not in our last game due to an injury. And so he's still out. And so they're going to hopefully give Evan Stout, the other four they have, some more time. And they've been putting him in the rotation. And the reason why I highlight it is because that's been the Achilles heel, their centers, their power forwards, just not really being able to compete and put up, and not necessarily put up points, but rather filling in those small holes like rebounds and drawing fouls. Really, it's been the work of Tyron and Daniel playing pretty much all positions. And so the fact that they're getting him in the rotation more is going to be fantastic. So Johnny, have you seen very much of Waukesha South this year at all? Or?
You know, I have not seen much of the basketball stuff there. That's really kind of Donnie's arena, and just happy to do some filling in here. I'm very curious. You're a basketball guy. You see a lot of games. Mm-hmm. Tell me what should I be looking for from the two standout stars here tonight?
Well, Tyron and Daniel are your classic athletic, incredibly fantastic at drawing plays and scoring. Mostly they are.
What do you think they're going to get each?
Well, Tyron, I think, is averaging around 25 points per game.
Holy,
so he's
that's a lot.
He was ranked seventh in the state. Yeah, he's a show. Every day I do this, he puts on a show. But the other players are no laughing matter neither. Player Ethan Check, I think he's a guard. He's also great as well. he doesn't really score as many points, but he draws attention by just putting up these fantastic plays and drawing attention. And he's a great passer as well. He's able to set up zones on defense, and then set up plays on offense really well. So he's kind of the glue, so to speak, that makes it so tiring, and Daniel don't have to do all the work in the front court. But yeah, but you really Daniel is a great player. They kind of have similar skill sets, honestly. And that's why I think they work together so well. But to shift gears, we're going to take actually a little break. And when we come back after this break, we're going to go over the rosters for today's game. So stay tuned.
Hey, this is Don Brown inviting you to get local with me every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, on my show, This Week in Waukesha, live from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. Local news, local sports, local people, local music and culture. This Week in Waukesha, every Saturday, 8 a.m., here on Walk Radio, 540 a.m., 101 FM. The Shaw.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin. You horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
All right, we are back to Black Shirt Sports Radio Network with your host, Connor, and Johnny Watermelon. And before we get into these rosters, actually, I want to update you guys about the game that we just saw. Normally, the JV game usually lasts a little bit longer before the varsity plays at 7. But this was pretty much a blowout. They had beat West, the Wolverines, by 18 points. I don't remember what the final was. I think it was around 12. I think it was 60 to 48. They had taken it off the scoreboard. But those of you that were interested in knowing the results of that game, there you go. And yeah, it was a beautiful performance by Zayas DeWalt, the other all-around tool player that we have that plays guard, who I think is going to be just a perfect addition for next year, along with some of the other juniors that are on the varsity team right now. So let's get into these. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I'm just going to comment on that last game of the GB game. Man, some of those guys are just beautiful three-point shooters.
Yeah. You
talk about setting it up, jumping, and doing that nice, long fade ball, man. Those guys are good. I'm telling you, they're good.
Yeah, and I mean, me and Don have been over the moon for the past, I don't know how long, just about the JV team, because it's just how versatile they are. And how that's going to shake it up for next year, because a lot of the main players, not to say that the guards are bad at shooting three pointers, because they're not, their percentages are really good, but their play style is just when in doubt, when in trouble, drive, draw fouls, which is good. But having a more all around, a player in whom could spontaneously shoot a three or spontaneously drive, is going to be a lot more dangerous. And because the other team's been able, they've been able to pick up on Pyre and Daniel's play styles. And usually when they are, that kind of spells disaster for South. And so, yeah, I think that's really going to be the key next year. But
You know, the other thing that I saw there, Connor, and I was just really happy to see that is the, you know, the perpetual passing and teamwork and the patience. And, man, those guys were effective. I just love to see that passing. There were some of those passes that were so crisp and so snake-like. One bounce, and bam, it was right there to the guy. I mean, it was really, really good passing and play and organization on those guys' parts.
Yep. Yeah, it seems like these high school players are just getting better and better, you know? I mean, I sound like I'm not 3 years older than these guys, but
but
I swear when I was a freshman or sophomore in high school, I wasn't seeing bullets like that. Well, maybe I just wasn't as good. But anyway, so to get into the rosters, we're going to start off with Waukesha South, starting at number zero, Tyron Cook. He is the 6'2 guard, senior guard. Number one, Tak Tadioka. He is the 6'3 senior forward. Number two, Daniel Robinson, the 6'2 senior forward, or senior guard. Number three, Trey Duncan, the 5'10 senior guard. Number four, Ethan Check, the 6'1 senior guard. Number five, Giovanni Ibarra. It looks like they brought Giovanni. Yeah, it looks like they had brought Giovanni up from, I'm sorry, I'm mistaking him for Giovanni Perea, which is the scene. He should play in varsity too, because he's really good and they would need him. But Giovanni Rios Ibarra, he is a 5'6 junior guard. Number 10, Brighton Staub, 6'3 junior forward. Number 22, James Smith, the 6'0 senior guard. Number 24, Charles Moroz, the 5'11 junior guard. Number 30, Pau Segrip Perez, the junior 5'11 guard. Number 34, Tommy Karinko, the 6'3 senior forward. Head coach is Bo Richter. The assistant coaches are John Sanconis, Lee Montez, Andy Karinko, Austin Stuck, and Ben Bodard. Going into the Wolverines lineup, we have the starting senior guard, Dominic Hill. We have number two, Ben Hetzel. Then we have number three, Connor Nelson. Number four, Sam Cook. Number five, the 6'7 small and power forward, Nathaniel Andringa. Sorry about that last name. Number five, Jake Thompson. And the roster that I have up here is from Max Prep, so I apologize if it isn't 100% accurate. I wasn't able to obtain a roster directly from West beforehand. Number 10, Hunter Hernandez. Number 10, Nolan Krause. Number 11, Kale Ide. Number 14, Carter Lavelle. Number 15, Dylan Rhodes. Number 22, Brady Anderson. Number 31, Charlie Jackson. Number 24, the point guard junior, Brady Catarazzo. They have a pretty deep lineup. Number 33, Sam Zwiebel. Number 34, Aiden Owusu-Aswedu. And it's looking like that's the entire lineup for the West Wolverines. This roster doesn't have the head coach nor athletic trainer. I'll announce them and I'll give them their diligence when they announce them for the game, which is about to start in about 7 or so minutes from now. To talk about the game, to talk about what potentially the outcome is going to be for this game, I think with evidence for the last two games that we've just seen and also the games that we've seen, I think that they're going to do pretty well. I think that they're going to probably most likely win by a significant margin, unless West has found a way from last time to be able to give Dominic Hill some support. That's the biggest problem. And, you know, you can say that because the basketball programs and the sports programs in general are separated, that it affects the roster. It affects the deepness. A lot of the issue that we have with playing teams outside the the conference is the fact that our roster is only an 11-man roster. And these two rosters are also pretty pretty scant in the rotation. Waukesha South kind of has no choice to be because of the fact that they only have 11. But West seems to just rely on, or at least last game that we saw, rely on a couple of those starters despite their slightly deeper lineup. So if they've been able over the past past couple of the weeks to be able to diversify their lineup, then I think that we could have more of a competitive game this time around. Johnny, you have any thoughts?
Well, you know, I was just going to ask you to stick your neck out and to give me a score. What do you think it's going to be, Connor? Are we talking, you know, 70 to, you know, 35 blowout? Or
I mean,
going to do a something closer?
No, I mean, I wouldn't put any. I would say probably a 10-point difference. 10-point differential.
All right.
Or maybe something smaller than that, but nothing larger. I think we're going to see a pretty competitive game. I think that West is still going to be driven, especially because last time was such, it was a hard game to watch. And so, yeah, the parking lots outside was pretty deep. So the city's real tuned into this. And I hope you guys listening right now are really tuned into this as well. All right. So we're going to go to another break. When we come back, we should be entering into the game, or at least we'll give a little bit of commentary. We're about 4 minutes out, and we'll see you. This has been WAUK's broadcast of the Waukesha South Boys Basketball High School program. Thank you, and see you on the other side.
Hey, this is Jim Santana.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin. You horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yeah!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
They started from the bottom.
Started.
Now they're the Classic 8 basketball champions.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team.
And they're back. Catch all the action as we broadcast live and local. The Waukesha South Blackshirts, defending their title in this year's campaign against the toughest teams in the state. Here on the Blackshirt Basketball Radio Network, Walk Radio 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free, personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions, who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out The Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Don Brown inviting you to get local with me every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, on my show, This Week in Waukesha, live from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. Local news, local sports, local people, local music and culture. This Week in Waukesha, every Saturday, 8 a.m., here on Walk Radio, 540 a.m., 101 FM. The Shaw.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s. Why should saving for retirement be any different? I mean, they go back to college, learn new instruments, start skateboarding. Whoa! Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. With aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach from AARP. You'll get personalized recommendations based on your input that are easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back.
Gnarly move, Dad.
Thanks, sweetie.
So wherever you are in your retirement savings journey, head to aceyourretirement.org and start chatting with Avo today. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
They started from the bottom.
Started.
Now they're the Classic 8 basketball champions.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team.
And they're back. Catch all the action as we broadcast live and local. The Waukesha South Blackshirts. Defending their title in this year's campaign against the toughest teams in the state. Here on the Blackshirt Basketball Radio Network. Walk Radio 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
We are back with WAUK's broadcast of Waukesha Boys High School basketball game with me, your host Connor, filling in for Don Brown, who again, unfortunately, is away because of the passing of his mother. I'm here with Johnny. Johnny Watermelon.
Yes, sir.
And so they're announcing the starting lineups right now. I can't quite hear. Yeah, Jake Thompson, number 5. Number 14, Carter Lavelle. And the head coach is Don Lavelle. And I'll get back to you guys on the rest of the starting lineup for Waukesha West. But they're announcing South's starting is going to be Tyron Cook, number zero. And then 6'2 senior Daniel Robinson starting at the shooting guard. And then small forward, we have Ethan Check, the other playmaker I was talking about before. It's looking like they're starting Charlie Moroz, the junior. It's going to be dynamite next season. And then Tommy Carrinco rounding it out at center. So a pretty average lineup for the for South right now. No significant differences. So 14 Carter Lavelle, one Dominic Hill, number two.